Have you ever done heroin, John?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's November 26, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 151.
This is No Agenda.
Happy fake Thanksgiving Day, everybody. Enjoy your shopping experience. Coming to you from the Minimum Security Containment Cell Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, California, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where the weather is again awfully nice, especially for a Thanksgiving in November, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Sorry, I fumbled that myself. It wasn't too professional.
That's okay. Nobody cares.
I do. I'll listen to the beginning of the show going, crap. I could have done that better. I'm very critical.
So,
yeah, we're a little late.
We're a little late. I think you should explain to the audience with the appropriate apologies. Oh, actually, why should you be apologizing? It's not your fault.
It's not my fault. No. So I fire everything up. you know, I'm jacked down deep into the system on my MacBook Pro, working with a program called JackPilot, so I can actually reroute streams of audio. And that's not like a stream you get on your like a shoutcast stream, but it's actual streams within the guts of the system. And Apple has this audio setup called Core Audio, which is, I mean, it's fantastic because professional musicians use this a lot for exactly this type of functionality. They've got, you know, go into any studio these days, you'll see that there's a Mac running a lot of the basics of the system. And always, it's like everything was misconfigured. There was alerts popping up because you have to, you know, I have a configuration. I hit okay, route it basically, and it sets everything up. And it was like borking all over the place. And of course, I knew immediately that the system update that I'd received from Apple, which I waited 3 weeks on, and I'm very good about this. When the new system update comes out, I never install it immediately. I wait, I look around, I see if there's any problems. I always read the expanded change log. Nothing about Core Audio whatsoever in the change log. So last night I'm like, okay, might as well go. I'll install it. And I knew immediately this was the problem. And I guess they replaced their audio drivers deep within Core Audio. So I had to go and set everything up again. But, you know, this is like a Thursday morning. It's 8:30. I'm freaking out here because I know the show's coming up. And it took some investigative work under the gun, but I got it done. And I'll say something, that the reason why Apple has to mess with so much of their Core Audio and all of their lower level stuff is because of DRM and copyright. And I know this because Steve Jobs told me so himself. So when you hear this, you know that Rogue Amoeba company that Leo keeps harping on as they left the iPhone development platform, you know why that is?
Why?
Because these are the guys that get screwed by this whole DRM thing. It's about the hijacking of the audio at higher sample rates that Apple made a deal with the industry not to do that. Because, you know, you can basically steal songs that way. And they make a product called Audio Hijack Pro and another product called, I think, Airfoil, which lets you stream audio, you know, to your Airport Extreme or whatever. So the only reason this is happening is because they, you know, at the end of the day, Apple did sell their soul to the music industry.
Well, okay.
So there were some changes going on. Pisses me off.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. I just, the question that comes to my mind is, why don't you do the update after the show's over?
Yeah, I did it. I did it after the last show. I did it after the last show and before this show. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, like, you know, not the day before the show, so we're late and you're complaining and you're in a nasty mood. You're not your normal crackpot self.
I am my normal crackpot self, John, and I'm going to prove it to you by playing a nice little song for you. Come on, everybody, sing along. The words are easy. Follow the bouncing ball.
Making up data the old hard way, fudging the numbers day by day, ignoring the snow and the cold in a downward line. Hide the decline.
Hide the decline. Hide the decline.
This is a new YouTube video. Hide the decline. I love it when everyone gets into the game on Climate Gate.
So, Climate Gate. You know, the thing is, so they had a... I was watching the News Hour, brought to you by Monsanto and others.
Yes, of course.
And by the way, they have that same spiel, all these... They have all these same commercials at the beginning of the show as they do at the end, which I find interesting. But anyway, so they spent, I timed it out at something just a little over 16 minutes at the beginning of the last show. I think this was the one maybe yesterday or the day before. 16 minutes out of the hour, which is over.
Wait a minute, 16 minutes? Is there underwriters and sponsors?
No. You didn't let me finish the sentence.
I'm sorry.
16 minutes of the there's a couple minutes on both ends on that, but that's not 16 minutes. 16 minutes on the climate change on the Copenhagen thing.
But not on
16
the,
minutes. But not but on is there any other news out there?
But not on Climate Gate.
There's a thing they did. Oh, well, here's another thing. 16 minutes, and they never once brought up those memos.
Of course not. Oh,
this wasn't about that. It was all assumed that it was the 16 minutes was devoted to the fact that Obama made these promises that he's going to cut the emissions by 85% by 2050 or something like that. If he's going to have any say in it. But
I
got a couple of clips because obviously in the background was lurking these memos, the leaked memos from...
let's just restate for people who are just joining the show, because it is a very important... something very important happened here. This is, in essence, a smoking gun, because these emails, thousands of emails, computer code, lots of really incriminating evidence, and it's been admitted that these are their emails indeed. It's incriminating evidence that one of the most important centers for the data that is supposedly proven, that the science is in, it's all clear according to Al Gore.
Everyone agrees.
Everyone agrees. All scientists in the world agree that it's
for the first time in history, all scientists agree.
All science agree. Yeah, except for the 30,000 who don't agree. But okay, the IPCC, which is a part of the United Nations, they all agree that there is man-made global warming. Now, of course, they already knew that it wasn't actually warming, so they kind of changed that to climate change, which obviously happens all the time. I mean, the climate just changed in the past week here in San Francisco as we move into winter. So, of course, climate change. But then the whole reason for this is to introduce cap-and-trade legislation, which basically is a tax based upon CO2 creation. And we're doing that right now, John. We are creating CO2 by...
As we exhale.
Yes, opening our pie holes. And to take that one step further to Copenhagen. And I didn't play the audio of that last week. I should look that up for you. The new president of the European Union is actually saying, hey, this is great because, you know, now Copenhagen and we have this, you know, cap and trade popping up everywhere. This is one more step closer to global government. And now, if you're all for it, then you're probably jumping up and down, and you're, yay, I'm happy, global government, we're all saved. But I don't think we believe too much in that. So pretty much...
That's not bad. That was a good rundown.
Yeah, and this, of course, is huge, not just for the rundown that I explained, but the fact that scientists are actually manipulating data, deleting data. And, you know, when you read personal emails, it's always going to seem a little more inflammatory, perhaps, than when it was written. But some of this stuff is just clear. I'd say the science is clear. These guys were hiding it. They were hiding the decline, hiding the decline in temperature. Okay.
So I know that, you know, even though they've spent 16 minutes on the topic, and mostly just to give you the typical rundown is that Obama's stepping forward with this great idea, but even though he says it's going to probably be a year before they can approve a real treaty. Meanwhile, the Indians and the Chinese have both said, oh, that's great. We think the United States should do this. Or as the Indian guy was saying, and I think I have a clip of this, the Indian guy saying maybe the United States should do even more. Stop all emissions and just go out of business.
Turn off your
engines.
Are just kind of saying, you know, this is not our problem. We didn't start this. We're not having. We don't have nothing to do with it. Even though we now are producing more CO2 and various greenhouse gases, as they were called, as they're called, than anybody. But screw it, because we had nothing to do with it. So you guys can stuff it. And, you know, once you straighten out your problem, then maybe we'll do something. I mean, in other words, they're just telling us to go pound salt in a with a smile on their face, by the way.
And, I'm sorry.
Of course, we're just still, we guilt-ridden liberals have to say, well,
we should stop producing and send all our money to poor people.
So anyway, so meanwhile, you know that they were having meetings going, what are we going to do? You know, and of course, they didn't bring these memos up at all in the packages that were done on the News Hour all.
Of course
I think
not.
Somebody mentioned it in passing and just kind of like when they were interviewing someone. And but it was just essentially wasn't part of the package. And but you know they know about it, but they don't know what to do about it. Carl, we can't report this. This will screw everything up.
Well, what they're waiting for, but John, they're clearly waiting for someone to come up with the meme, for the meme to catch on that they can all jump on. That, you know, well, so I've heard a couple people try, oh, well, you know, we don't know if the documents are real, even though we know they're real. No, that doesn't work.
So, okay, so here's what I'm thinking. They had a meeting, you know, the PR people, what are we going to do? This is terrible. We have to kind of change the basis for the discussion. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, well, how are you going to change the basis for the discussion? I've got it.
Okay.
Look, there's a decline in global, people believing in global warming, but if you really start looking at the numbers, people really do want health care. They really do. They want it. Look at all the numbers.
Wait a minute.
How can we twist this?
Okay.
I've got it. Okay. Play the Lancet.
Lancet on the way.
Series of studies released today in the British medical journal The Lancet could give another boost to advocates of addressing climate change. The studies found that cutting carbon emissions could save millions of lives, mostly by reducing the number of deaths from heart and lung diseases.
Oh, yeah.
Climate change is not only about economics, and it's not only about the environment.
It's about killing
people. It's about your health.
Linda Birnbaum is director of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences at NIH, which helped finance the studies.
Really? You don't say.
No, wait. Before you play the rest of it, I want people to pay attention to what this woman has to say. She's, you know, if we're going to talk about the basis for the climate change argument or the global warming argument, it's CO2. But she all of a sudden brings into play essentially soot and other normal pollutants that have already been taken care of for the most part.
Yeah, by cleaning up our chimneys and catalysts and all kinds of stuff.
Listen to her discussion about how it's so important for this climate change action to take place. And she never mentioned CO2 once, because you can't mention CO2. It's a natural thing that's in the air.
You
eliminate all CO2, then we just kill every plant in the world.
So I'm already on this with you, John. So they're going to shift away from the actual global warming and the horrible. And by the way, I have a BBC report that came out just 2 days ago after all of this has been out, that, you know, where they're still saying floods and mudslides and devastation all from global warming. So they're going to move away from that and going to say, well, it's basically, you know, CO2 is toxic. We have to stop all pollution.
Of course, they can't mention that, the CO2 in the argument. But so listen to this woman who's the spokesperson for the people who funded the study that The Lancet ran.
As we avoid increases in ozone, we avoid more hospital visits, we avoid more doctor's visits, and we actually avoid deaths. We know that, for example, that black carbon, which settles out very, very quickly and we can have immediate benefit, affects people's health.
Wait, what is black carbon, John?
Soot! It's soot, for God's sake.
Black carbon.
It's got nothing to do with any of this.
It's a great name.
Ozone? What's ozone got? What, a CO2 now making ozone somehow?
Now they're just throwing all the buzzwords in they can. It's just like ozone layer. Oh, yeah, ozone.
Black carbon. Hello, soot. Call it what it is.
How about acid rain? Bring that one back. That worked for a while, too.
I think they're not going to do that.
All right, here we go.
We know that things like methane, which are...
methane! That sounds dangerous.
Produced from a variety of sources.
Yeah, from my ass.
Have major impacts on our health and our well-being. And again, by preventing them, we can prevent cardiovascular disease, we can prevent respiratory disease, we can prevent certain cancers, we can prevent certain obesity.
Despite such reports, a new poll found the percentage of Americans who believe in global warming fell over the past year from 80 to 72%. That could make passing a climate bill and reaching a global agreement all the more difficult.
Yeah.
Cut her off. I'm buying into it, John. I mean, that's a very good way for them to go. But I think that they will come back to the CO2 because all these documents have all been about the temperatures. So I think what's going to happen now is, well, look, hear me now. Believe me later. The science is in. CO2 levels are rising. That's undeniable, of course, except for the deniers. And this
denialists.
Is killing us. Yes. And this is killing us. And I do believe it's going to still be about CO2 reduction because you're probably right. Yeah. It kills people. CO2 kills people. Yeah. If you put a plastic bag over your head and you only breathe CO2, yeah, it will kill you. By the way, it's what plants need to breathe. Didn't we have this in third grade? We exhale CO2. Plants go through a process called,
photosynthesis,
and then they pump out oxygen, which we breathe. It's a beautiful system, the way the good Lord intended it to be.
Yeah, but those plants, they won't get involved in the cap and trade with us.
The dead blasted.
The whole thing is
plants.
About cap and trade, so you can set up a scam market, so you can trade credits.
Yes.
And
exactly.
make money on the com. In other words, you take the commission. You can make more money doing that, or you can make tons of money if you own the exchange. I think Al Gore's got a piece of one of them.
Oh yeah.
And the whole thing is obviously a money grab, and it's got nothing to do with anything. I mean, soot is bad. I agree, but it's got nothing to do with anything.
So Christopher, Viscount Christopher Monckton, who was actually a huge greenie, is now I don't even think he eats meat. The guy's a total greenie. He is now saying that these scientists are criminals. There's calls for resignation of one of the top scientists. It's really, there is some noise, but, the big lamestream media are just, shutting up about it. The BBC, actually, the top meteorologist, I think the weather guy, actually, Paul Hudson, he's the weather guy over at the BBC. He's a young guy. I think he's kind of switched on. He had these emails from the 12th of October. They were sent to him and he sat on them. He did nothing with them. He had them for over a month.
Wow.
And now he's just saying, oh, well, I'll probably blog about them. Literally, I have the link in the show notes at noagendashow.com.
What a bonehead.
I'll blog about it. Yeah, it literally says, the leaked files would show 4,000 documents. Where was it? I can't. I wanted to read that quote. It was pretty funny. Oh, well, it's in there somewhere. He says, I'm going to blog about it. Stupid Paul Hudson. The BBC, meanwhile, in the midst of this whole Climategate extravaganza, published the following report, and this is from Tuesday. Three UK groups studying climate change have issued a strong statement about the dangers of failing to cut emissions of greenhouse gases, may be the buzzword as well, John. The Royal Society, the Met Office, and Natural Environment Research Council, better known as NERC, say the science of climate change is more alarming than ever.
Yeah, I read this game. They're trying to make more noise than the other side. So they're just making this, more alarming than ever. And the seas are going to raise 6 feet.
Yeah. Oh, we're all going to die. By the way, that whole Copenhagen, have you seen that? So we have Copenhagen, which of course is, and our president has now officially announced he will be attending. There's billboards and a website called Copenhagen.org.
And, yeah, I've heard of Copenhagen. I didn't follow up on it, though.
Well, I did follow up on it, and I looked. Of course, whenever I see a website like this, which is basically, we have hope, sign the petition, you know, it's all 6 billion of us, save the world, Copenhagen, if we can get a global agreement, it's all going to be awesome. And
so who is behind this hope in Copenhagen? Who's the people that came up with it? Why is our president going to this meeting in Copenhagen? Why is anybody going? If you look at the people that are on the board there, it's all just a bunch of Greenpeace people. I mean, they just throw a meeting and everyone shows up. Can we do that? Can we have like some sort of crazy meeting and just have the president show up and then sign something?
Yeah, John, we tried to do that in Vegas. We had 3 people sign up.
We should have invited the president. We made it a green thing.
We have no poll. So I do a who is on Copenhagen.org. Of course, it's registered to Ogilvy New York, which is a huge ad agency.
Wait, stop. You did a who is on Copenhagen.org. With all these people signing a petition, and you're telling me that the people who are actually own and run the site is a PR agency?
One of the largest in the world, yeah.
The PR Ogilvy. Advertising agency.
Yes.
Yeah, Ogilvy.
Yeah, one of the largest in the world.
But they're huge.
Yeah, but then go to our partners, Friends of Copenhagen. Well, let's see. We have Coca-Cola.
Their clients.
Yes, SAP.
Oh, so this thing
Siemens,
is rigged. This is a scam.
Yeah, of course it's a scam.
This is an out-and-out scam.
Yeah.
Does anybody ever do a who is on any of these sites, or they just run with it? Coca-Cola's in on it.
Oh, and I tell you, I still do an old school command line who is. I can't help myself. Yeah, it's literally supporting partners. Thanks also to our supporting partners who have lent strong voices to the movement, BMW Group. If you look at the partners, it's a huge list.
Well, give me a few more names.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on.
We'll see who. Okay. You know, I wonder if their CEOs are even aware they're on this thing.
Business Week.
Business Week. There you go. Now we have a newspaper. Wait a minute. We have a publication
Pandora.
That's supposed to have some integrity, and they're signing on to this thing like a fish.
Sure. Pandora. Scientific American, 17 magazine.
Wait a minute. That's another magazine. That's a magazine.
What?
They shouldn't be listed there.
What?
Magazines are supposed to be giving people, like, you know, they're supposed to sift news for us. They're not supposed to join one side.
Oh, listen to this. Business India, Business Insider, Business Standard, Business Week. Oh, I can give you lots more than that. Euro News, Newsweek, Natural History, National Geographic, Mother Jones. I think you're right. It's just all their clients. McCann, World Group, Ketchum. So these are all the advertising agents. Oh, Huffington Post. Yay, Huffington Post. Very good.
That's good news. For us.
Gawker.
Gawker.
New York Magazine. The Japan Times, the Green News Network.
So we can expect
nothing
but objective reporting from all these people.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yahoo. Warner Brothers Digital Media. You know what this is, John, agencies do this all the time. By the way, I love you should really look at the site, the imaging. Here's a fine-looking kind of Asian young man looking up towards the sky.
Which one? Is this Hopenomics, or what do you call it?
Copenhagen? Copenhagen.org. Hey, sign the petition, it says. 11 days left to seal the deal. Seal the deal. We've got to seal the deal. Let me see what it said. This is the funniest shit. So anyway, what these agencies do from time to time, and it's always around Christmas, by the way, is they set
it up.
And they email all of their clients, and you know, they get them all on board, and hey, we're going to save the world and join up. And then it's basically a big client stroke. And it'll be good.
In this case,
spread
this
hope.
This is humiliating as this is horrible. This guy looking in the air looks like he's staring at the sun. Hey, buddy, you're going to go blind.
I love.
What is this picture? People, you have to go to Copenhagen.org and look at partners. And you'll see this idiot. And the whole thing's Oh, this is just ridiculous.
Check this out. Go to Copenhagen. The Huffington Post is sending a citizen journalist to COP15, which is a government website, as a Copenhagen ambassador. That citizen journalist could be you. Upload your video entry before it's too late. The Huffington Post, don't ever read that again.
Yeah, they're obviously taking sides on an issue they should be reporting on.
Yeah, you can't trust those bastards.
No, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to me that this continues to be, and it's so transparent. It's not like, I guess they're fooling somebody, but it's like, I mean, if anyone actually takes a look or thinks about it, they must realize that this is a scam. 11 days to seal the deal. What deal?
To save the world. Save the world.
Specifically.
Save the world. Save the world.
No, seal. It says deal. What's a deal? I mean, what deal are they talking about?
The deal is to save the world. And as all of this is coming down, John, I'm thinking to myself, Al Gore absolutely deserved his Oscar. He just got it
in the wrong category. Nobel Prize for literature.
Yeah, he got it in the wrong category. It should have been science fiction instead of documentary. Yeah, the guy totally deserves it.
I didn't realize this guy was this smart. He probably would have been a good president. He would have scammed everybody. Unfortunately, he probably lined his pockets in the same time. Maybe it'd be more like Spiro Agnew. But whatever the case, this Hopenhagen site is,
it's pretty.
I'm
bad,
disgusted.
Isn't it?
Yeah, totally disgusted.
It's pretty bad. Ogilvy. Yeah. Well, you know.
I don't blame them. They're just paid to do a job. They're essentially mercenaries, you know, of a sort. Mm-hmm. And they do what they have to do. But these other people that sign on to this, they're the idiots.
And I really wish I could, you know, take a lot of credit for all this investigative journalism I did. But, you know, it's like five letters. Who is...
Yeah, we work our asses off typing in who
really hard.
Finding all this stuff out instantly while the mainstream media and the rest of them are just lockstep into somebody else's story. I don't know.
Meanwhile, in Gitmo Nation Down Under, there's a lot going on, man, in Australia.
Before you get into that, we must mention today's
executive producer. Yes. Who do we have and who are our AEPs?
We only got one. We got the one executive producer. Mm-hmm. And by the way, and he is from Down Under.
Lovely.
We're still getting an awful lot of support from Australia, which I find interesting. But it's our old friend, the executive producer from number 149, Michael Menzies.
Oh, Michael, yeah, sure.
From Eltham, middle of nowhere, Australia, who gave us another $300.
And Michael, I love you, man. It's a good Thanksgiving.
Knew he was going to be the executive producer and thought he'd be, you know, do it again. So he's the only executive producer we have this week. So he takes the whole thing.
And I'm just going to bet when we talk about it later on that we didn't do too well. Because, of course, everyone's too busy saving money for Black Friday. Black Friday, everybody. Hey, you know, one of our producers pointed out, and this was Chase Rozdilsky. He says, I seem to remember a show about a year ago that you and John were going to make predictions for this year's Black Friday about how many people will be killed during the Black Friday fury. I would love to hear your predictions on the show today. Well, that's a very good question. How many people do you think will die during Black Friday this year, John?
Well, of natural causes, there's going to be quite a few. But of people that are dying, I'm going to actually predict zero.
Zero deaths. Ah, come on, man. I'm going to throw 10 in there just because I think that there might be one, at least, you know, one mall rush. There could be one H&M sale where some famous designer comes out.
I think they're so freaked out about these people dying during these things that they're doing. They're opening the doors early. There's been training. There's been seminars. There's been all the things that American business does to prevent the bad publicity that results from somebody getting killed in your store trying to, you know, grab an Elmo or something. Or in this year, apparently, a DVD player, or Blu-ray.
So let me just finish up the Climate Gate segment here, which we don't have a jingle for yet. So it's the Rudd government down there in Gitmo Nation Down Under. And I love the story. The federal opposition will back the Rudd government's emissions trading scheme. So they're already a little bit further. That's why we have so many folks in Australia listening to us, because, you know, they're in the middle of it. We're still trying to push stuff through to make this horrible tax happen. They will back the emissions trading scheme after Liberal leader Malcolm Turnbull last night told climate change dissidents he was the boss, quote, I'm the leader. I've made the call. Shut up and sit down, you bitches.
I call the shots around here. I'm the big boss.
He's the decider.
Man. I am the decider. You are the denialist. You are dissidents. Dissidents, all of you, I tell you. I should take you out back and give you two to the head, bitches.
Enough of your acting.
I thought it was pretty good, actually.
We need to get some bit parts for the both of us. Is anyone in Hollywood listening to this show?
Yeah, really?
I mean, I could use a bit part. That's what I'm looking for. So do you have the clip? You want to play something else? The clip that I have that discusses the Chinese and Indian.
Yeah, China and India, sure. Does it need setup or I just blow into it?
There's a couple interesting points in there. Just run it.
Global efforts. But China's climate envoy said today the onus should be on developed countries like the U.S.
Oh, he didn't say Fuyunga Honga Hinga, did he? Oh, no, he didn't.
What developed countries should do is to take serious action on whether they have been true in words and resolute in deeds in order to solve this problem which was caused by them.
The original hope was that the conference would result in a new treaty to replace the 1997 Kyoto Protocol, which the U.S. ultimately did not sign.
By the way, I was living in Gitmo Nation East in Europe during that whole Kyoto Protocol thing, and there was so much hate for America and George Bush at the time because, of course, America didn't care about the globe. America doesn't care. We're just horrible people.
Well, there's also this point that the funny point, which is always overlooked in this, the fact that George Bush didn't pick up the ball. Just play the rest of that little segment.
It now appears more likely the summit will produce only a framework for future action. Still, the news of the president's decision was welcomed by many, including
I must have picked it up. Stop. So the point is that Clinton's the one who actually had the protocol dropped in his lap.
Yeah.
And he just kind of sat on it. He was supposed to send it to the Senate, never did. He did what Obama's going to do, I believe.
I think George Bush actually got blamed for that.
Yeah, and George Bush got blamed for it because all Bushes are, nobody likes him, and then Americans are all suck. But Bush, of course, had to sit on the thing for 8 years, and Clinton only had to sit on it for a couple of years. You know, it's 97, protocol 97, 98. I mean, he was out of office in 2000, so he was sitting on it for 3 years. Bush was sitting on it for eight. And Obama's is pulling the same thing, I mean, which is good. The presidents do have to be, cognizant of the fact that they'll sink the country if they sign off on any of this crap because it's a scam. Well, it's a scam designed to put us in the tank.
So I'm actually now, was it Obama who promised that he would end global warming? Did he actually, was that one of his campaign promises? He promised something.
Yeah, something along those lines. We'll have to look it up on one of the. There's a couple Obama sites that follow all his promises and what he's reneged on and what he's actually done. All the ones he's done. He's done quite a few, but they're all minor.
It's going to
change.
It's
changed from a Parker House role in the White House dining room to a old fat French role. You know, that kind of thing.
Actually, here's a pretty good one. This is a good campaign promise he made.
I will promise you this: that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank.
Yep. Take it to the bank.
Oh, can we take it to the bank?
The bank, yeah. The bank. Yeah.
Take it to the bank.
Take it to the bank. Oh, wait a minute. The banks are all bankrupt. We can't take it to no bank no more. So,
you can take that to the bank. So he's going to apparently pump up the troops in Afghanistan,
which
gives me the opportunity to play the Good Morning Vietnam clip more and more.
Well, it's going to be very interesting because right on the heels of this comes talk of a war tax. And it actually has a name. Of course, I have looked it up for you. Actually, Nancy Pelosi was already saying, this is a pretty good idea.
By the way, Pelosi, but just to fit, because we're still kind of floating around in that climate thing. Pelosi has been pushing, the Republicans walked out of her committee when she was like pushing a hard line on climate change, that whatever the Chinese or the Indians do is fine. We just have to do, we have to, they want to bail out, that's fine. We have to do that. this. She is very deep. Her husband is very deeply involved in Chinese businesses.
Oh, really? I didn't know
so
that.
So the Chinese would, if the Chinese are given a free rein, she makes even more money. You know, she's the richest person in Congress and obviously the most corrupt.
Yes. Nice Hooters. Nice rack.
Yeah, if they're, you know, probably two bags of plastic.
Okay, so Pelosi says, hey, you know, I'm not really for sending more troops to Afghanistan. And the president will be announcing this from West Point on Tuesday. That will be carried live, of course.
Uh-oh.
And you know, so it's like, well, you know, I found some middle. I can tell you right now, it's like, you know, this is a necessary war. It's really important we send more of our young boys and girls over there. You know, General McChrystal, who I admire and respect, because he only eats once a day and gets up at 3:30 and runs for 59 miles.
He's an obvious psycho.
He is a complete psycho. He's asked for 48,000. By the way, not a single lamestream media outfit has actually reported the same number. It's all 48, 44, 40. You know, it's all different numbers. He's probably going to announce about 30,000. So I was like, yeah, and you know, it's like, why don't you have 30,000 18 and 19 year olds in your front yard versus 40,000? There's no fucking difference, okay? It's still all young boys and girls who are going off to be.
Can you play that Obama clip again?
Yeah, of course I can. Here it is. You can take it to the bank.
I will promise you this, that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank.
All right. First thing he's going to do. Well, it,
well, but I thought it the first thing he was going to do was close Gitmo.
Yeah. No, that's
how many first things did he say he was going to do?
So let me get to the tax. So this is a bill. It is H.R. 4130, introduced, interestingly enough, by Congressman Obey. I really like that one. Congressman
Obey.
It is known as the Share the Sacrifice Act of 2010. When I read that title, I was like, oh my God, Atlas shrugged. Here it is. Share the Sacrifice Act of 2010. So the idea is there will be a an extra tax, minimum of 1% of net income tax liability. However, the way it's going to work, it's just a proposal, so it's pretty easy to read. The president. Here it is. Okay. In general, the term applicable percentage, so that's basically the percentage is to be determined, but it will affect everybody, even if you're making 12 grand a year. The president will determine an applicable percentage of your income, which will be the Share the Sacrifice tax. And this applicable percentage to be determined by the president means, with respect to any taxable year beginning in a calendar year, the percentage which is determined by the president with respect to such calendar year under paragraph 2. And then you go look under paragraph 2, and essentially it says, whatever the amount is, and they're estimating this to be $1 trillion over 10 years, so they're already expecting it to last 10 more years. So that's $100 billion a year
to go to the war that he's going to get our troops out of and take it to the bank.
Yes,
war.
Yeah. Well, he's not lying. Listen again to what he's saying. You can take it to the bank. That's exactly where we're going to be taking our money to his
to
bank.
The bank.
I will promise you this: that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank.
Take your money to the bank, known as the IRS. Now, of course, this plays into so many deep emotions because any member of the armed forces of the United States who received compensation, which was excludable from gross income tax, blah, 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 will not have to pay this tax. So if you're in the armed forces or if you're a member of the, if you're married, I guess, to someone in the armed forces, you won't have to pay this tax. So they're saying basically it's a support the troops meme. And of course, I support the troops. My whole family is Gitmo. I support troops. I don't support the war. And this tax is not for supporting the troops. It's for supporting the war. But they're twisting that into a support because they've
and more than half the people are contractors. That's where all the money is getting sucked up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's I was just reading this morning. There's apparently Global Services Inc. in the Netherlands, which I've never heard of, impossible to find on Google. One of their helicopters went down in Afghanistan, and they can't find it. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know this. There's like a huge Dutch company that provides food and stuff. I had no idea. I had no idea that it's amazing. All these, this is a huge money maker. But guess what? The money's going out of our pockets into these companies' pockets. There's more contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan than actual servicemen and women. More.
No, this is a huge scam. And the thing that bothers me the most is the fact that the right-wing talk show guys, with maybe one exception, but generally speaking, are all pounding the drum for more troops, more war, you know, we get, and then there's the thing is the comment that was made by somebody, it was at, or that there maybe even Obama said something about, we're going to finish the job. Finish what job? The place is a shambles. There hasn't been a country. Russia sent at least probably 10 times more people to Afghanistan. They couldn't get anything accomplished there.
They were there for 10 years. We've been there for 9, so we're getting pretty close.
It's not possible to just get out. It's the stupidest waste of money. It's not going to accomplish anything. Oh, the humanitarians. Oh, the poor women over there are going to be beaten up by their husbands. They've been beaten up by their husbands apparently for a long time.
There are people in America who are beating up their wives.
The fact of the matter is this is ridiculous. And the fact that Obama would make these promises and then, I mean, I didn't vote for the guy, but I thought they voted him in so he could end these wars. I thought that's what, I don't know. I'm sure there's a few Democrats that listen to our broadcast. How many of you voted because you wanted to end the war?
End the war.
Well, yeah. Now what, you just still think everything's hunky dory? Why don't you complain about it?
You know, it's funny you say that because, I did my experiment with the Sarah Palin book where I bought it. I walked around with it at the airport is where I bought it. And I read this book. And I do want to say a few things about it, but this came up at the office the other day,
I was there.
No, you weren't there for the second part. The second part was best because I mentioned this. Actually, Bryn, one of our engineers, came over, and I was standing right near Maggie's desk. Now, Maggie is a 60-year-old black woman who is my executive assistant, but really is big mama bear. She takes care of a lot of shit. And I love her dearly. And even though we disagree in politics, you know, we have a real respect for each other. So Bryn comes over and says, because he's been reading some Twitters, and he says, dude, did you really read the Sarah Palin book? And I'm like, okay, so here's another zombie. And then Maggie goes, what? Oh, no, you didn't. That woman is stupid. That woman is stupid. I'm like, wow, did you read the book, Maggie? She's the product of incest. Wow, this is really, really, really outrageous. And I said, hold on a second. She didn't write that book. Who wrote that book? I said, probably the same guy who wrote Audacity of Hope. You know, and then she's like,
oh, good one.
No, but then it got even worse because she's like, I'm so glad she didn't get in the White House. That would have been horrible. I said, oh, really? So what is how's that Obama working out for you? He has done more good for us. I'm like, well, what has he done? And she couldn't name it. She kept going to like, he's going to get us health care. I said, but Maggie, you know, name one thing he has actually done so far. We inherited all of this. I'm like, oh my God, you know, the zombieism is just so, so prevalent. Now, can I just say a few things about the, Going Rogue, which actually has a subtitle, An American Life, which it truly is. This is a very interesting book to read. It's not hard. I have to believe she wrote it. She's a pretty good writer. You know, she does her Facebook stuff. What's interesting about this book is two main things. One is all of the trooper gates and all the things that were trumped up in the media. She completely debunks all of that. It's very, you know, it's completely the way it happens in lamestream media, whether you're Britney Spears or whether you are Sarah Palin, it doesn't make any difference. Okay, this is just the way it goes. They find someone who said something, who blogged about it, and then before you know it, it's headline news. She also continuously throughout the book talks about how poorly the campaign was managed by headquarters in Washington. And this is actually where the title of the book came from, because they would say, oh, you can't do that, Sarah. You can't say this. And, you know, and whenever she would do things that she felt was right, the HQ would say, oh, you know, she's going rogue again. And, very interesting. Just a lot of her history I didn't know about. She's an all-American girl. She's my age, by the way. All-American girl, grew up like many Americans, which is not all New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, where we, you know, our fish comes on the platter on the rice with the wasabi. You know, she goes out and she guts fish and she catches the salmon and shoots caribou and eats it, you know, which is, by the way, that's the way it kind of always has been in America. It's just that even I am somewhat zombified of the thought of killing a beast. But of course, you know, we'd much rather go get our, you know, saline injected turkey at Whole Food. Whole Food probably doesn't sell saline injected turkeys, but you get my point. And she has a lot of, I believe she has more executive experience than Joe Biden. Executive experience, right? So she's actually not legislative, but actually running stuff.
Yeah, that argument's probably valid at some extreme, although I'm not absolutely sure that this commercial for Sarah Palin is.
Well, no, but hold on. It's not a commercial for Sarah Palin, because when I hear her talk about Afghanistan and about, you know, the Fort Hood shooter, I'm like, okay, you know, she's totally buying into all of the bullshit. And so, like, she would never be my vice president or president ever, but she certainly has been assassinated to an amazing degree. It is a great study. Again, there is no difference between Britney Spears and Sarah Palin. No difference whatsoever, the way she was treated, etc. And I am convinced that Katie Couric, not really Katie, of course, because she doesn't sit down behind the editing console. But when you read about all the things that were put on tape and all of the hours of interviews that were done and what you actually see show up on television, then you start to understand even better how it works where CBS assassinated her. So it is not.
Yeah, no, that's true. In fact, a lot of, you know, media experts will tell you, if you're going to be in that position, you don't do those types of shows. If you're going to do any sort of interview, you do a live, unedited interview. Live.
Yes, live. It's got to be live. And even the "can I call you Joe" thing, all of that stuff she explains, it's her side of the story, so take it with whatever grain of salt you want, but certainly very, very believable, right down to Trooper Gate. And you know, the woman had a child born with Down syndrome, which... you know, that's really tough on parents. The way she was treated, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, there's no sympathy whatsoever.
Zero sympathy. Zero. And so all I'm saying is that I find it amazing that people look at me and actually tell me I should not read a book. What is this, Mein Kampf? You know, it's like, you know, I love to read all kinds of books. In fact, when you tell me I shouldn't read something, I'm going to go out and read it on purpose.
I have said this for a long time, which is that you want to read both sides of all arguments. You want to read Rush Limbaugh's book. You want to read Obama's book. You want to read Kennedy's book. You want to read Lenin. You want to read Marx. You want to read Ho Chi Minh. By the way, his stuff is outstanding. You want to read from all perspectives, so you can have some understanding. You just don't reject things out of hand like that. I was there in the office when you were mentioning this to one of the people there, and she basically said, she was laughing at you. She said, "I wouldn't read that book. I wouldn't read that book. Why would you read it? I'm not going to read it. I mean, why not? I mean, if you really think that she's a bonehead, read the book and then find the bonehead things in there so you can ridicule her. But just to throw this stuff away just out of hand is bigoted.
It's not only that. It's un-American. It is undemocratic. I think if you're going to say that's like book burning. That's like book burning. It's no difference between burning a book and saying I'm not going to read it. There really isn't.
No, it's actually virtual book burning. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Now, Back to the point you made earlier, which is the one about how, you know, Central Command was telling her what to do, left, right, and the other.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the time that Walter Mondale, who ran for president, was soundly trounced, the Democrat. And I'm reminded of the time he came, I think it was the Carson Show. He came on the Carson Show, and the guy, I would have never believed it. The guy had personality. He had a sense of humor. He was telling jokes. He was keeping up with Carson, which is no easy task. And I'm watching this going, what, where did this guy come from? Yeah. Why wasn't he the guy running for president? Yeah. I may have voted for him. You know, they shut these guys down because they have these controlled, you know, these controllers that the shadow government that runs these campaigns, and they don't let anyone do anything because they're fearful that they're going to say the one bad thing and then they'll never be able to get out of the hole they dug for themselves. But what it does is it takes, why even have the election if we're going to do it this way? We don't even get to know who these people are.
I'll take it even one step further, John. I'll tell you, I think HQ wasn't the Republican Party. I think it was the Democrats. I think it's just one party sitting there pulling all the strings, moving all the levers, and she was totally connecting with people. Dennis Miller, by the way, big supporter of Sarah Palin, according to the book, which I find kind of fun. She was totally connecting with people, and they kept saying, no, don't do this, don't do that. And may I remind you, Katie Couric, CBS, David Letterman, CBS. I mean, there was a total hit squad out to get her, and it came from headquarters, you know? It's so completely obvious. Now, for those of you listening to this broadcast or the podcast, you're lucky because you don't actually have to read the book. You see, John and I will do that work for you. And so you, even if you don't want to read it, you still can sound somewhat intelligent at cocktail parties, hanging out around the turkey. You can get a little conversation going. You've got enough facts about the book. You've got enough background about her. And all it will cost you is $5 a month. That's all we really need. We need some donations. I slept less because I'm reading this book as quickly as possible. I'm not a fast reader, actually. So I had like, you know, three sessions before I read the whole thing. We're doing this work for you. Look at my freaking show. You wait until you see the show notes for today's show. It's unbelievable how many links I have that you can research.
The show
and
notes are worth the price of admission. People should be just sending us all the money they've got in the bank for these show notes.
You can take it to the bank.
Especially people that want to do research. Let me thank a few people who donated this last week. Again, Australia seems to be right at the top of the list. Rich Burgess in Mafra, Victoria, mm-hmm. gave us 100. Aaron, Tunstall. Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Tunstall, 117 from Clementon, New Jersey. Michael Menzies, of course, gave us the Menzies. Is it Menzies or Menzies? Well, anyway.
It's Menzies, I think it is.
Yeah, he's our Australian executive producer for a second time with $300. Philip De Silva, and by the way, Michael, thanks. And thanks for the note. Philip De Silva gave us $61.39 to highlight Bill C-61 of the 39th Canadian Parliament, which is some Copyright Act scam.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a copyright, and they're going to try to crack down. They're essentially taking copyright to new heights.
Oh, good.
So, you know, so you won't be able to even quote, you won't be able to play that Obama clip.
Take me to jail town, now.
Which I always mispronounce. He's in Ontario, but the town is Etobicoke.
What's his name? I stepped on you.
Etobicoke. Mm-mm. That's the name of the town. Philip De Silva is the name of the donor to highlighting C-61. Marcus Volter, $100, and he's in, he wants us to plug Omega Omega Style Podcast, Omega Tau Omega Tau Podcast.
Omega Tau, that's like a fraternity podcast.
Yeah, Omega Tau, but he's in Gropingen, Deutschland, G-O-E, or Gopington, Gopingen.
Spell it.
Like, I'll just spell it once. Gopingen.
Yeah, right. What you said.
Gopingen.
Gopingen.
Gopingen, maybe, yeah. Matthew Graham, $63 from, oh, man. You know, I write this down. It looks like I can read it. But he's, oh, no, 68, this is why I said points against me. Matthew is an Ohio State nut. And so the $63 represents the number of points scored against Michigan while he's been going to Ohio State.
Got it.
He's in Grove City, Ohio. We'll take any kind of crazy symbolic gesture. Steve Taft, who's given before in Marietta, Georgia, I believe he has. Marissa Harriman in Thornsland, Queensland, Australia, another Australian, 101. Thank you. And she's also becomes number 27 of the women listeners. Christopher Greep, G-R-I-E-P, in Edmonton, Canada, 6666. We get that.
We understand.
And Alan Chow in Flushing, New York with $150. And then we have a bunch of $50 donors, $50 to $55 donors that I'll mention. DUI-help.com actually is going for knighthood. Barry Wilson, again in Australia. Malcolm Blair in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And then we have P. No first name I have, but it's a guy in Amsterdam. I think it's a guy. And his last name is spelled S-N-E-E-K-E-S.
S-N-E-E-K-E-S. Snakus. Snakes. Snakus. I think Snakus.
Snakus. Snakus. Then here's I'm going to actually save this one for last. OKC Defensive Tactics gave us a 50. Dwayne Cawthorn, Austin, Texas. Christopher Malmy in Cherry Valley, Massachusetts. And Ed Farrell or Farrell in Kissimmee, Florida. And then Jennifer Ivory in Niceville, Florida, if there is such a town. She has a – I want people to go to this site because I have seen this woman's art. And I swear to God, I did, until she sent this letter in and plugged her website, which is insectworks.com.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah,
W-O-R-K-S.com. She makes insects. Essentially, they're sculptures, but they're not. But they look like one of those bugs. You know, you see people that have these bugs in a on a display with a pin through them, and there's a bug, and somebody collected the bug because they're bug collectors. Mm-hmm. She makes these same bugs, but she makes them out of feathers and goo and
it's beautiful.
Toothpicks. I've seen her stuff. I never knew this. I thought these were bugs.
I'm looking at the butterflies. I'm like, yeah, okay.
The butterflies looks like a butterfly. Are astonishing.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Ugh. Anyway, she's at insectworks.com. Go buy her stuff, ladies and gentlemen, immediately. I can't imagine how much work she puts into one of these things. Anyway, we would really appreciate all these donations and even the smaller ones that go to noagendashow.com or dvorak.org/NA. We need your help and we need it on an ongoing basis. The $5 subscriptions are great, but any other donations even more or is as appreciated. And of course, the executive producers.
Yes, and it would have been nice if we could have said it's been a great Thanksgiving, but just hearing that list, I know it hasn't been that great of a Thanksgiving. I do want to thank new producer Murray, who sent me a note. Adam, a while back, I signed up for an Audible account through one of Leo's Twit promotions. Tonight, I decided to cancel my Audible subscription, which cost me $15 a month, and signed up for the $5 a month No Agenda subscription. I would have happily signed up for $10 or even $15 a month if one was available. I get much more enjoyment out of No Agenda than I ever did out of my Audible account. So that's another good idea. Just take a look at the things that you're subscribed to right now and cancel that and send it to us. And by the way, you can set up a recurring payment, I think, for $15 a month too.
Yeah, you can do that, or you can, by the way, if you have extra money in your PayPal, or go check and see if you have a PayPal. I think a lot of people we got a number of people who sent like $1.23, $7.14 that were all just dumping out their PayPal account because they never used it or they don't like it or whatever, and they just wanted to close it out. And I thought that's all well and good. But, so you know, we also should mention that we are working on Thanksgiving because we do want to keep the show on a regular schedule. So if it's a holiday, it's only a holiday in the United States and something of a bogus holiday.
We don't believe in it because real Thanksgiving date is October 3rd, as John has explained previously on this show. There were no pilgrims and Indians sitting down. It was what the hell was it again, John? The real Thanksgiving?
If you go to the blog, dvorak.org/blog, on today's listings, you'll see the entire long-winded story with links to a second version that kind of discusses the Thanksgiving. It began as a Thanksgiving for the health of the soldiers in the Civil War. That was when it was officially codified. And then
Abraham Lincoln who did that, correct?
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln did that. But it's been done before. It's been in and out of vogue. Thomas Jefferson, they had some sort of festival in various parts
in fact, if you even think about it, you know, this, of course, is a complete enjoy your shopping experience holiday because it's all set up for Black Friday, and it's always the third Thursday in November, which is never on the same date. So it's like, duh, you know, don't you understand?
No, it's a setup. It's a mercantile scam.
Yeah. Which, of course, is what we do as Americans, because that's really what our economy is based on.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints about it. My only complaint is the lack of the hype over the pilgrims and the Indians sharing a table with a turkey, which they probably, you know, and dressing and what, you know, mashed potatoes and whatever, you know, you have for your Thanksgiving dinner, as some sort of thing that's been going on since the 1500s. It's bull. But I'm a buzzkill.
So, in the fine tradition of Thanksgiving, more than 150 countries have agreed to sign the international ban on landmines, the Landmine Treaty. Oh, except for the Obama administration, those fine, loving people. We won't sign it. We're not gonna sign no landmine ban. We want kids to be blowing their shit up years from now. You'll find that link, a fine article in the show notes at noagendashow.com, curry.com, and dvorak.org. So, yeah, let's just wrap up the thank you very much, everyone, for the donations. It's not enough. It really isn't. And there's only two ways to go. In the short term, we need people to donate as much money as possible. Become a knight if you have the cash. And then the other way, longer term, is if every single listener to this show gave us $5 a month, we'd be set. So if you're going to give us a big chunk of change, consider also signing up for the $5 a month plan, because it's those little bits at the end of the day. As it'll probably, at the rate we're going, it'll take two more years before we can even look, I want to quit my day job. How many times have I said that to you, John, in this past week? How many times did I say, I want to quit my job? And John keeps saying,
too many times.
John keeps saying, man, wait 6 months. Like, 6 months, I can't. I need to be sitting down. I need to be reading stuff. I need to be researching stuff. I don't have enough hours in the day to do all this.
This is what happens. He was just happy as a clam when he was sitting in his place in London or when he was in Amsterdam. But he's over in San Francisco now, and he's turned into a Californian dude. Surfs up.
No, the way it worked there is I had all day to read and research because, of course, San Francisco wasn't open until 4 in the afternoon, and then I'd have another work day. So I basically did, and of course, it resulted in a divorce. And by the way, not going to be a cheap one. If you want to know what I'm going to do with the money. God,
yeah,
damn.
Pay bills, pay lawyers,
pay 2.5 households. Anyway, we appreciate the donations, but we need more. It is just not enough, and we are really
especially compared to what these PBS people make. Dvorak.org/NA, help us out.
So, a couple of things around from around Gitmo Nation. In the Netherlands, a fantastic I'm so proud of some of my Dutch freedom fighters. So, you know, there's all these databases being – I've actually got a couple of stories on DNA databases, etc. So now in the Netherlands, they've come up with the government there has come up with this kind of scam saying, well, you know, everyone – so the European law has already been passed. And, of course, now that Europe really is Europe and they have a president and the Lisbon Treaty was signed, hey, told you so. Here it comes. As of actually September, everyone in the Gitmo Nation Europe has to have an identity card. Ausweis bitte. And in the Netherlands, they're saying, you know what? You also have to give us your fingerprints. Which?
Where are your papers? Your papers, please.
Yes, your papers. Give us your Ausweis. So they're saying you have to give us your fingerprints, and everyone now has a number. So this group, let me just find out. What's the name? Of the group is Het Nieuwe Rijk. And this is a Dutch story in the show notes. they sent out these really professional-looking folders. I'm not quite sure how they're funded. I don't have enough time to dive into it that deeply. They sent out these really professional-looking folders as if they were coming from the government, as if they were kind of – it doesn't really say it, but it looks like it's coming from the Ministry of Interior, from the Interior Ministry. And it's got these great pictures that said, here's a great idea. You should tattoo your ID number on your arm. It's fantastic. They actually have pictures of someone getting their number tattooed on their arm. For those of you too young to know,
I got to get a copy. This is great.
Yeah, I'm going to Skype you the link. This is what the Nazis did to the Jews in the Second World War, is they actually tattooed their number on their arm. And I can recall many times going over to friends' houses and seeing their grandmothers and stuff, and they have these numbers, and they actually display them quite proudly, of course, because, what a statement that is. Here, John, take a look. You can see the picture. In fact, let me see if I can get to their website. It might even have big... here it is. Oh, it's a JPEG of the folder. Oh, perfect. Hold on.
So, this is in the meantime...
Here, click
I'm looking at it. Now, click this is one. Very funny.
Now click this one. This is even better. That's the actual JPEG. So I'm very, very proud that they did that. And of course, now the Ministry of the Interior saying, oh, we're going to sue them because they used our house style, which is the
what a bunch of weenies. So they used our house style, look and feel. You know, in the United States, by the way, you can't sue people over anything that's a parody.
Well, and of course, parody is very subjective to what is a parody or not.
Well, I don't think this is too objective in this case. By the way, in the meantime, of course, there's a scandal, supposedly a brewing in the UK, where they it's believed that now they're just arbitrarily arresting people left and right.
Just to get their DNA.
Of building up their DNA database.
Yep.
Okay, well, I guess we were wrong. You can go, but we'll keep the swab.
Yeah.
You know?
More than three-quarters of young black men aged between 18 and 35 are on the system, according to a report, which you'll find in the show notes at noagendashow.com. And, of course, this has been a big debate for many, many years in the United Gitmo Nation, of the United Gitmo Nation Kingdom. Because basically everyone's now collecting DNA. This they've built up this huge database. I think they have 8 million people in it already, which is about, that's almost 20% of the population. And, you know, there's no rules. Anyone can access it. And, I still have to go back to the validity of DNA. You know, it doesn't quite work like CSI, you know. What is happening there, John? You okay?
Some guy's horn is going off. Okay.
It's not exactly like CSI where there's we've got a match. We've got the rapist. It's not quite like that.
CSI is getting worse.
Yeah, it doesn't.
They had this one. The CSI New York had this one where they're floating around, and then I was going to take a clip from, but there's no. It was all visual, and essentially they were trying to track some guy down, and they had these cameras all over New York as though it was like London, and so they were following the guy running down the street on all these different cameras, and they cut to a camera and they show the red light coming on, and then they'd show the control room and say, he's on camera 3 around Battery Street, yeah. And he's on camera 4, he switched to camera 6, and they're following this guy, and he's in the alley, you got him now. And I'm looking at this thing, are they trying to make people feel comfortable with all these cameras, or is this crime fighting? I mean, the messages are screwy. By the way, I suspect that we're going to start finding some scam way to start collecting DNA in this country too.
Oh, of course. And by the way, what's happening is the American people, and you're not seeing this on television because, of course, that's already been ridiculed as, oh, those crazy teabaggers, which are really just pissed off Americans. And for those of you not living in the United
guns,
States,
by the way.
Well, funny you say that, because Outdoor Wire, which is a, I think it's one of the largest gun websites on the net, has named President Obama Gun Salesman of the Year.
Oh,
as,
yeah.
as
Now I'm familiar with this. The Obama effect with the gun industry has been phenomenal.
It is
these
unbelievable.
Guys,
there are so many
sales
guns
have gone through
sold.
Their ceiling.
Yeah, and it's because this is why I love America so much. I love this country as much as I bitch and moan about it. Because at the end of the day, when the shit really hits the fan, and you know the Obama administration is building up their million person army in the United States itself, and we all know about the MIAC report, which we discussed, where hey, anyone who carries around a copy of the Constitution or supports Ron Paul or listens to No Agenda, oops, you get their DNA. The only thing we've got over every other country is we've got guns. And you can use them for enemies from outside the United States and inside the United States.
Well, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Another country that has guns everywhere is Iraq. We can't, you know, and the public is just shooting at us.
Yeah, exactly.
Afghanistan's got a lot of guns, and now you might as well give up on that. I mean, if you have an armed public and you think you're going to go in there and push people around for whatever reason, whatever good reason, because you have, you know, some agenda of some sort. I mean, still don't understand. I mean, what are we doing in Afghanistan?
You know,
trying
let me,
to catch
let me play a clip
Ben
for
Laden?
You, John. Let me play a little clip for you. This is Robert Baer. He is a former CIA agent. And, of course, we know it's really the CIA running a lot of the show because those are the guys that have to harvest the poppy and bring it to the processing and fly it into the United States in 747s. He sums it up very nicely in this clip, exactly what's going on over there and why we should get out quickly and why it's not going to work. Ooh, nice sound effect. Cool. Here it comes. What is fueling the insurgency in Afghanistan?
What was fighting in Afghanistan is not terrorism, but it's a war of national resistance. And the people that want their country liberated from the West have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. They simply want us gone because we're foreigners, and they're rallying around the Taliban because the Taliban are experienced effective fighters.
The bulk of what we prefer mistakenly as a Taliban.
This is Matthew Ho, former senior U.S. civilian representative for the Zabul province in Afghanistan. So these are people who have been there and know what they're talking about.
Taliban, the capital T. The bulk of them are local groups that are paid by the Taliban out of Quetta for their allegiance. I don't see these local groups as being ideologically allied with the Taliban. If anything, their only allegiance besides money is the fact that they don't want an outside presence, whether it be the central government or the U.S., in their local communities.
So essentially what they're saying here is, and you're right, John, is like, hey, you know, they've got guns. Every household has a gun. And they're lining up around the capital T, which is the Taliban, because those guys are organized. They've got, you know, they got gun or kind of organized. They've got guns. And we do the same thing. If some foreign people came into our country, we'd be lining up behind the capital T, the tea baggers, which is just people with guns saying, hey, you know what? Screw you. Screw you. We're going to blow your shit up. And it's all because we're there. They just want us out.
They look at us as outside forces, colonial forces, if you like. And no one is ever going to rally around that national army which we create. And that is the reason why there is not a single effective unit in Afghanistan that can operate on its own.
This is an occupying force. The Afghan National Army is led by Tajiks and Uzbeks and urban Pashtuns, and it is occupying the rural Pashtun South. So any support to this Afghan army only exasperates the civil war in Afghanistan.
The Karzai is not going to win this war in his army. Neither is the Northern Alliance, neither are the Uzbeks. They are not going to win a civil war or a war of national liberation.
This is the same civil war that began in the 70s that caused the Soviet Union to invade. Just because the United States and NATO invaded in 2001 did not end that civil war. The civil war is still going on.
All right. So you get the point. These are the real experts who you won't see on television because they're not on board with the program.
Yeah, no, I know. They're not on board with the program. They're not going to say that. They're not going to spiel the bullshit. They're going to tell from their perspective, which is probably a decent one. And nobody wants to hear it. Nobody at CBS or NBC or Huffington Post or any of these places want to hear it. By the way, what really gets me still, though, is that Obama thing. I mean, everybody voted. All these people vote. All the liberals voted for Obama to get us out of these wars. And as he gets – this happened. We saw this with Lyndon Johnson. I mean, the guy gets voted in. The next thing you know, he sends half a million people, troops to Vietnam in another ridiculous war where there's where you couldn't win. It was impossible because the people weren't with you. I mean, nobody was throwing posies at the Iraq invasion like all Wolfowitz and all these neocons said. Oh, they're going to be welcoming us with open arms. Nuts. They didn't welcome us at all. And because they didn't trust us, for one thing. And so now we're stuck there. I don't know. The whole thing is ridiculous.
We
got to win. We got to get the job done. In Iraq, for example, win against who? Who would come over and sign a surrender document? Name the person.
Yep.
Who signs the surrender document? How do we win? Who do we win against? Who is the person? Who is
terror.
The group?
Terror, John. That's why. Yeah, that's why it's so beautiful. You call it the war on terror. This is,
right. This is like the same kind of scam as CO2 emissions.
Yeah.
They're just part of nature.
Yeah. So, once again, our formula is pretty damn simple.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth.
And we don't care who it is. We'll hit you in the mouth regardless. We really don't. We don't give a rat's ass. I do. It's the drums. You're right. Let's listen to our president one more time as he was campaigning. His big promise, first thing he's going to do.
I will promise you this, that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank.
Liar.
Take it to the bank.
Yeah, you lie.
I got a clip.
I'm sorry. I'm racist when I say that. I don't see black or white. I see lie. That's what I see.
I see lies. I'm watching the Jane Hartman is having a kind of a meeting of her constituents and this woman. This is the hopeless clip.
Yeah.
This woman, who I think is pretty typical of some people out there, and I don't want. You remember when we played that crazy girl in Santa Cruz who gave testimony before the city council?
Yeah,
that made no sense.
We could grow stuff.
Gross stuff. This woman here who's speaking in a kind of if anyone used to watch the old TV show Mad TV when Miss Swan was on, I think this may be her.
My name's Li Yang. About this...
It sounds like Arianna Huffington. What are you talking about? Isn't it her? It sounds like
Just play it.
About this patriarch and torture and all these type of things related to liberties, related to our constitutional rights, I want to ask this panel to really make a comparison of domestic and overseas or foreign affairs, the torture things. I think just...
What the hell is she saying, John? She's saying about the terrorism, domestic torture, why?
She kind of makes the point at the end if you'd let it play.
But we have to label who is a bad apple. Whether bad apple is coming from within our United States officials or who really make up stories, who really take up, let's say, for instance, people's, Muslims, their properties, everything away from them, and then label them as a terrorist, and then send them overseas to the Guantanamo Bay. Just in domestic, they do the same thing. They label people as inferior, with a racial profiling, with a contempt of order, take their resources, ask them to pay maybe even $1 million for domestic issues, which is really unjustified. And if they don't pay, they can send them to jail, even decades. Even they will have global search of their resources, and prosecutor and financial institutions say, well, let's just release him because there's no resources. And we are here, the officials, law enforcement, FBI, if you just inform FBI that there is a tampering of computer, police computer database. The FBI, instead of resolve the problem, resolve the car theft by the car dealers, they target on the citizens and then become citizens, become the targets forever, for decades. And now they take away the citizen, maybe the home, the cars, the social security card, and the passport, everything is possible. And if they want, they can just deport these immigrants. So I want to be sure, this panel really look into this problem, resolve the bad air, bad pulse, and then we can have prevention done. Otherwise, it's hopeless.
You know, this is great. When we get the No Agenda stream up and running, she's getting her own show.
She's great.
She's now, awesome. And she's saying all the right things. It's just that, you know, this type of person will get ridiculed out of town because, you know, she sounds so weird, but she's saying some really, you know, true stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's an example of pidgin English. And actually, when I was listening to that, I realized that people who don't really get to English and they still speak either, you know, one of the iconic languages that uses, you know, like Chinese that uses the icons to that many of those things, the verbs and noun structure is totally alien and essentially she makes nothing but sense if it was all written.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to get past the sentence structure and the accent,
I just thought it was very funny. But this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is we listen to C-SPAN and we are subjected to this constantly. This is why we need your help. You get a kick out of it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That is really nice.
I got another clip if you want to.
Before you do that, just a couple things from around the globe. Gitmo Nation East. Massive disruption is expected across Ireland as public services will shut down in a national strike over pay cuts. More than a quarter of a million public workers are staging a walkout. This is, you know, God bless the Irish. I mean, they got shafted with the whole Lisbon Treaty. They said no, it was a do-over. You know, eventually you just lose. And if it's not by honest voting, they'll rig the machines. That's how it's been done for years. There is no crisis. There is no problem. There is no swine flu. It's just all created to make you shut up, sit down, and be a good slave. And so I appreciate the fact that hospitals, schools, social welfare offices, local authorities are all going to walk out over plans to slash 1.3 billion euros from the public sector wage bill. Even though that may be somewhat misguided, at least they're showing their teeth because they don't have any guns over there.
No guns.
One thing from the segment Two to the Head. This was just too funny. A number of people sent me this article. You remember the Kentucky census worker who was found hung? He was bound with gaffer tape, and the words "Fed" were written across his chest. So of course, this is part of what's happening, right? Is people, and particularly in Kentucky, man, don't mess around. People there are awake. and they're like, hey, you know, screw this shit. Whatever this guy did, I'm against killing, but I can understand the anger. So of course, the feds come out and say, he killed himself. He killed himself, but he staged his own murder.
Why?
I don't know. That's not in the article, interestingly enough. The feds wouldn't say why, but Kentucky State Police Captain Lisa Rodzinski said the investigation revealed that the letters "Fed" scrawled on his chest in black pen had been written from the bottom up, and Sparkman's DNA was the only forensic evidence found at the scene. There you go. CSI came out and they said, oh, yeah, clearly this is not a murder. This is clearly a suicide because no one's angry at the Fed.
The other thing is, you know, there's some one of our producers sent something a couple of weeks ago, and we never got around to it, which is another example of some government worker that was found dead in a river, but with a couple of gunshots, and they called that suicide. Apparently, he shot himself twice and then jumped in the water.
Two to the head, put the gun in the left hand.
To the head, too. I think he shot himself twice in the head.
Well, then this is two to the head.
It's suicide. I guess the first shot, I guess maybe the recoil of the gun, automatic could shoot twice.
And we just eat that shit up. Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. Yeah, he shot himself twice. Yeah, okay. I got it. Meanwhile, the Obama administration, and this is a great story from the North America Interpress Service, which I do read from time to time. I'll give you the headline. You can read it yourself in the show notes at noagendashow.com. With the healthcare debate preoccupying the mainstream media, it has gone virtually unreported that the Barack Obama administration is quietly supporting renewal of provisions of the George W. Bush era USA Patriot Act that civil libertarians say infringe on basic freedoms. This thing will get renewed. It won't get renewed as the Patriot Act. That would be way too incendiary. So they're just going to quietly slip in all the FISA and removing habeas corpus or keeping that off the books and posse comitatus. All of this stuff is, our liberties in the United States have just been removed. But of course, we're actually behind the United Kingdom. We're behind Australia. You guys are the beta testers. And enjoy.
Yeah, no kidding.
You want to do a clip or you want to quickly talk about gold?
Oh, gold.
The only thing I want to say is that, now that it approaches $1,200 an ounce, HSBC, this is the big bank, has actually told its retail gold buyers, get your gold out of our vaults, which I find fascinating. HSBC is telling clients to either move their metal or prepare for it to be delivered to their doorsteps.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they don't want the gold anymore in their vaults, and it's not quite clear why. But let me see. Jonathan Potts, managing director of Fidelitrade, parent company of Delaware Depository Service Company, says, I've never seen any relocation like this in my life. They have now two vaults have been filling up because HSBC is saying literally to their retail clients, get it out of here. And then another story from the National Post, and this is about Canada. Remember we were talking about that fake gold?
The tungsten,
yeah. So a report came out, which was released in the news services, that 17,514 troy ounces of gold and other precious metals were missing. And there's a lot of, I have to say, unconfirmed sources who were saying that they went to melt the shit, and it was lumpy.
Lumpy.
Because, of course, gold melts at, 2,200 degrees and tungsten at 8,000 degrees. And so, literally gold is being stolen out of vaults, stolen from, central banking vaults. There's still no certainty whether America's gold is really at the Federal Reserve. Of course, the report that we talked about on the last show, that China is really pissed off because they bought all this gold and turned out to be bogus. Tungsten.
Well, they sell us a lot of bogus stuff, so hey.
You bastards.
So go to WikiLeaks and also look into the somebody had just released all the cell phone and
I've been following this. It's 911.wikileaks.com.
I haven't found 911 something. Yeah. I haven't found anything interesting yet. If anybody finds something, can they just send us a copy?
Yeah, well, if they have a link to a Reddit page, and it is kind of interesting as a social view because they're releasing it hour by hour, so you can kind of read through all of the. And I think it's pagers more than anything. It's pager messages, not cell phone text, but just pagers, which of course 2001 were still pretty prevalent. There's a lot of sysadmin stuff, which is kind of weird. You see trading desk down, etc. And there's a lot of, personal stuff in there. But, everyone was emailing me. Ooh, they're releasing all this. Ooh, someone. It's like there's nothing in there. So
let's do the clip. Maine Curry. This is a This is a healthcare debate clip from a Republican senator from Maine who makes this very interesting argument. And as soon as she did it, I'm thinking, ha, this is exactly what Adam suggested about a month and a half ago.
There's another problem that's going to drive up the cost, Mr. President. The very tight rating bands in this bill will increase the cost for young people. Now, why does that matter when we're trying to expand coverage to those who are uninsured? For this reason, Mr. President, more than 40% of uninsured Americans are between the ages of 18 and 34. Extreme price increases for the young and healthy will simply force them out of the market because most young people, I fear, will just do the math. They'll decide to pay the new $750 a year fine rather than paying $5,000 a year or more for health insurance. This is particularly true because under the bill, if they do get sick later, they can still buy insurance with no penalty, no increased cost.
And no predetermined pre-existing conditions rule. So if you get cancer all of a sudden, you can just say, hey, I got cancer. You, by law, have to give me insurance.
And that's why the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and keep in mind, this is the association of state officials who regulate insurance. These are public officials. According to the NAIC, these provisions will lead to severe adverse selection that will drive up the cost of premiums for everyone else who's in the insurance pool.
Yeah, I'll take it one step further. As a small business owner, which is under 250 employees, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. When this bill gets passed, which I'm pretty sure it will because we're too stupid, when it gets passed, it's we're going to look at it at Mevio, and we're going to say, you know what? Congratulations, everybody. We're going to pay the tax, and there's like a 4% tax. It will be cheaper for us to pay the tax for you to go get your public option from the government rather than us paying for it. It'll just be cheaper. We're going to do the numbers. Like, okay, great. Here, and by the way, I think that's why it's set up that way. Go for it. And that, of course, is when the big scam comes in. The public option, yeah, it's a good idea. It doesn't work anywhere. Ask anyone in the UK. The UK has done it successfully for years. It's the biggest, most expensive piece of crap that kills people. Yeah, it's great when you get your meds for £5, sure.
Well, the idea that you pay the $700 fee fine and then you
you just go out when you get sick.
And then you go when you get sick. But which is why Pelosi, I believe it was Pelosi or one of these folks. Is trying to get the jail time thing in there.
Yeah, $250,000 or 5 years in jail. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So that people won't take advantage of the obvious loophole. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Quick media assassination. The Washington Post shut down all of its offices. Did you read about that?
Pray tell, why?
Well, they're out of money. They got no more money because no one's reading it.
I wonder why people aren't reading this stuff anymore. Maybe because the information is sucky.
Yeah, it's bogus. That's like when I'm waiting for Rupert Murdoch to stop, you know, rattling his saber and lock up your shit already, dude. Lock it all up. I want every lamestream media outlet, please, refuse Google to index your stuff. Take your stuff, put it behind the paywall, please.
You don't even have to do that. You know, there is a robot.
Yeah, robot.txt file.
Right. You put that, you just tell the bot not to index your site and it won't. Google doesn't care. If you don't want to be indexed by the Washington Post do not, or let's make it Murdoch. If you, Murdoch, do not want to be indexed by Google because you think they're ripping you off, then maybe you should just put the little text file in there and tell the robots to go away, and they will.
Yeah, but take your news away. I don't want your news. It'd be fantastic. Then finally we can get some real news out there. I can watch C-SPAN and report on it. If people donated enough money and I had the time, I could do it all day. Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to. Not a problem.
Well, you know, I know Newsweek was losing, like, which I think is part of the same group.
Newsweek is such a piece of crap. You know,
they were losing $2 million a week or something like some ridiculous amount.
I keep
of money.
Buying that at the airport and then kicking myself later.
Why? Like, just buy The Economist.
Yeah.
The Economist is pretty good. I like it. It's good publication. It's good. And there's other things you can find here and there.
Just a couple of and by the way, the UK newspapers still have some pretty interesting stuff.
The Independent has a international edition, much like the International Herald Tribune, which I ran into in New York once in a hotel lobby. And I wish it would show up out here on the West Coast because it's actually really outstanding.
The IMF. I'm sorry.
Just say the international edition of the Independent.
The IMF. International Monetary Fund, who collect a lot of money from everywhere and give it out to other people. They're kind of like a global bank. They're warning that a second bailout would actually threaten democracy, which I think is pretty true. Good read there in Times Online. Standards and Poor. Now, while you've been following the stock market, like, oh, stocks are up, we're going to hit 11,000. Of course, because the dollar has gone down by 35% this year. So that's why gold is also up, is because the dollar goes down so horribly. Standards and Poor's, S&P, has given warning that nearly all of the world's big banks lack sufficient capital to cover trading and investment exposure, risking further downgrades over the next 18 months unless they move swiftly to beef up their defenses. This is the unreported. This is the big unreported story, John, is that all of these banks are still and even little Timmy Geithner, when he's being drilled and grilled, admits it. You know, it's like, hey, we're still in deep shit here. We don't have the tools. We need more tools.
Well, you're saying that they're still in deep shit, as you say. Mm-hmm. Why are they giving their executives these billion-dollar bonuses?
Well, because these guys need to buy up, their beautiful homesteads in Paraguay. Everyone's bailing. This is what people fail to see, is that all these guys, this is the last time they can do it. They're giving themselves all the money. They're going to take it while it's still worth something. It's going to take a couple of years. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not like, oh, the dollar's going to collapse tomorrow. I don't think it happens like that. But as many wise men have said, once the dollar starts to slide, that's it. It's never coming back. So they're buying up real property now that it's still, they still have their billions of dollars. Real property, real stuff, real slaves. Get it all set up. Go live somewhere else where it's nice and warm. And screw everybody else. This is the big parachute that everyone's pulling. And it's going to happen again. And certainly if cap and trade gets put into play, it'll take a little bit longer, but there'll be another huge bubble. There's a huge bubble right now with the carry trade, with the U.S. dollar. It's going to blow up. It's unavoidable. Look at history. Oh, I'm sorry. They don't teach that in school anymore. But there is good news, John.
Yeah.
Yep. There is.
I thought you were going to have some real news today.
Yeah. I actually do have some real news for you. Hey, I hit the button and it doesn't do anything. There we go.
And now back to real news.
Aliens from outer space are already among us on Earth. This is a known fact. I mean, I've subscribed to this for a long time. It's just we. Are so
you're going to read some promotion for V?
No, but I will get to that. No, but I'm pretty much convinced that the Pleiadians already live amongst us.
Yeah. Give us the real news.
Shut up for a second. This is not crap.
Ugh.
Let me finish. So I am. This is one of my beliefs. Okay.
I think that if you walk down the street, and I force, and even I have trouble doing this, but I force myself to do it all the time, look at the people who are coming from the other direction, smile at them, that's also nice, and you will see people, and from time to time you think, wow, that person looks kind of like an alien. Because they are living amongst us, and I believe that the Galactic Federation actually already has their ships. You know, not everyone sees them because we never look up at the sky. We never really just, except on Hopenhagen.org. Those guys look up at the sky. But, you know, take some time, look at the sky, sit in the grass, chill for a second, become one with nature. The Bulgarian Space Research Institute says they are currently working on deciphering a complex set of symbols that they have received, as they claim aliens are currently answering 30 questions these Bulgarian scientists have asked them. And this is the Bulgarian Space Research Institute. It's reasonably legit, I would say, except for the Bulgaria part. Sorry, people in Bulgaria. Lezhazar Filipov, who's the director, says the center's researchers are analyzing 150 crop circles from around the world, which they believe...
What Russian newspaper did you get this from?
This is from The Telegraph in the UK. Aliens are currently all around us, watching us all the time, Mr. Filipov told Bulgarian media. They are not hostile towards us. Rather, they want to help us, but we have not grown enough in order to establish direct contact with them. This is what the ascension theory is all about. Raising up the vibrations of your being to a higher level. And I think we are actually doing part of this work with this very program. Because really what it is it's seeing all the crap when you can really watch television and say, oh, well, this is just like a movie. This is just, you know, it is literally the Matrix.
Yeah, I think we do accomplish that. I think, you know, if these aliens are out there, let's ask them specifically for a big donation.
Yeah.
Now, come on, aliens, give us some money.
But see, this is where you show that you have not raised yourself up to higher vibrations yet. Because, and this is why I'm preparing to quit my day job, John, because I know that all will be taken care of. I know that when I follow what I am destined to do, everything will be taken care of. It's all going to be okay. It will be. Well, I'm having dinner at your house tomorrow. That's free food. See, it works.
Free food. So
we have to talk about V really quickly then, because everybody sent us this clip. I might as well play it. V, by the way, is the remake of the alien show here in the States, and I'm trying to figure out why they're doing this, and I think I have a theory. Just listen to this clip and you'll understand what the most recent episode was about. Neither John or I have the stomach to watch it anymore, besides the horrible acting, which is so obvious in the audio only clip. That just too many ads and it's just crap. Sorry, I should have cut off the dramatic
six.
Music.
What the hell is R6?
It's what they're putting in the vitamin shot.
They're experimenting on people.
Is that the vitamin shot?
No. It's the flu vaccine.
What, human vaccine?
They're not mixing their drug into the vitamin shot. They're mixing it into our flu vaccine.
Right. Okay. So the idea here is the V have this fantastic vitamin shot. It cures all kinds of ailments that we have here on Earth, but they're secretly, and the V of course are reptiles and they live amongst us. Follow me now on the story I just told you. They actually are putting, you know, some deadly poison into the flu vaccine. So I'm thinking, you know, why is ABC a Disney corporation? Why are they doing this? And of course it dawned on me that, you know, whenever someone speaks the truth, whenever there is something actually happening that is real, you know, listen to Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich, who, by the way, also believes in aliens, they're ridiculed.
I think he might be one of those guys, if you saw him on the street, you'd think he
could be.
The one.
He could be. these people are ridiculed. So I believe the reason why Disney is putting this out there, it comes, of course, from higher command. And it's like, you know, let's just ridicule all these bastards who are saying that we're putting some shit in the flu vaccine. The whole idea of reptile aliens living amongst us, which I think is really true. I don't know if they're reptiles, but I think aliens do live amongst us, good and bad. Is just to, you know, this is basically so that people like David Icke are ridiculed. And this is what you have to lift yourself above, is they're doing this specifically to control your mind into thinking something is funny and not real. And that's why they do it. It keeps your mind away from the truth. So I'm very hopeful, actually. When I when I see this, I'm thinking, okay, good. That means that it really, you know, there really is something going on here. And when enough people are able to lift their vibrations to a higher level, or all we're made of vibrations, John. You can't deny that. We are. We all have a frequency. That's why we say, "Hey, I'm on your wavelength."
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
It's channel 19, breaker breaker, good buddy.
So I think we better wrap the show before we lose our sponsors.
We can't.
Why? What, you got another story?
It's the No Agenda Swine Flu.
I was hoping we were going to put the Swine Flu Minute onto Sunday.
No, only one story, just because it broke Smith 2 days ago.
The GlaxoSmithKline thing where they're killing people left and right, and or making everyone sick up in Canada. They had to recall all the vaccine.
That's that basically story. It. Pharmaceutical company GlaxoSmithKline said Tuesday it has advised, not demanded, not, you know, Toyota does a recall of 4 million cars because the accelerator stuck. It's all over the news. Accelerator stuck. Oh, people have died in traffic. But meanwhile, GlaxoSmithKline has advised staff in Canada to not use one batch of swine flu vaccines because it could trigger life-threatening allergies. Yeah, you mean like neurological diseases? That kind of allergy? Company spokeswoman Gwennon White said that they had issued the advice after reports that one batch of swine flu, which makes it sound like a batch of eggnog, you know, like, it's just a little batch. It's just a batch. It's not, doesn't have a, don't give us the lot number. No, it's just a batch. It might have caused more allergic reactions than normal. The batch is 172,000 doses of the vaccine.
It's quite a few.
Yeah, that's not just a batch. White said UK-based GlaxoSmithKline wrote to Canadian healthcare officials advising them to stop using the batch on November 18th. She says a total of 7.5 million doses of the vaccine have been distributed in Canada. So they're saying this batch of 172,000, which is really saying is, hey, Canadians, you're screwed. If you got that shot, you are so screwed. And of course, shares went down by 0.08%.
Well, I don't know that if in Canada you get sick from the shot that they're held. We passed a law in the U.S. saying that there's no liability if you get sick getting the shot.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
sue them. No, that's why it's just an advice. They don't have to do a big recall. If you die from the vaccine, there is no legal recourse for you. Your government
is
already.
But that's Canada. Is Canada have same law?
Same in the U.S. Everywhere, every single company, every single country that has the flu vaccination for swine flu has exempted the makers.
Are you
of
sure
it.
That this? I think you're just making this up.
I'm not making this up. Are you goading me?
I'm
John
just saying.
C. Dvorak? No,
I don't know that. I'd never heard that this was the case every place in the world.
Okay, let's Google it real quick. Canadian swine flu
liability issues.
Vaccine liability issues. I love it when you can just type this into Google. Let's see. Canadian government signed secret agreement with Big Pharma to limit liability exposure. There you go. Is that enough for you? One second link on Google.
I can't believe the Canadians would put up with that crap.
Well, listen, who owns Canada? England.
Well, apparently
Queen,
somebody, because I know it's about,
the Queen of England, and who owns, where's GlaxoSmithKline? In England, in the United Kingdom, please. So, even though they may not be out to kill you with this shot, the whole idea here, I just want to reiterate, so you know what's coming.
Although there is a connection to the French fries.
Yeah, we're not there yet. The whole idea is to get you into the idea that vaccines are preventative drugs, and this is why this healthcare bill is so interesting. On page one, right there, boom, it says everyone has to, no healthcare insurer can refuse vaccines. In fact, that is code for vaccines are what you'll be pushing. That's very, very important. They're coming out with a vaccine against nicotine addiction, against cocaine addiction, against methamphetamine addiction. Notice, by the way, no vaccine for heroin addiction, which, of course, is the biggest trade coming out of Afghanistan. Don't want to mess up the market. We've got a vaccine for breast cancer. We've got a vaccine for cervical cancer.
Actually, if you think about it, if you're going to have vaccines against all these other kind of addictive things except heroin, what you're doing is you're driving the market towards heroin.
Yeah, of course. Of course, that will be the only awesome drug left. Gotta love it. Have you ever done heroin, John?
No, I haven't seen any reason to.
I think we should give it a try.
I'm against it.
Well, I've done nothing other
than
marijuana.
It has a bad reputation.
I think, maybe that's just all overblown. Maybe it's really awesome. I don't know. It's like reading Sarah Palin's book, Maybe I should just try some heroin.
Let me know how it goes.
Someone seems to think it's good. There's a big market in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can shoot it. You can smoke it. Can you snort it, too?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I should try the smoking variety. I'll let you know. Hey, thank you again for inviting me over to dinner tomorrow night. I'm very excited. And I love the fact that the Dvoraks are just celebrating Thanksgiving one day after Thanksgiving. I think that's very radical. And I'll bring some heroin over. We'll all smoke it.
I think you should not bring the heroin to the house.
Not to the house. Alrighty. Hey, John?
Yes?
Even though it's a bogus day, I'm thankful that I'm able to do this show with you. I really am.
Well, I appreciate that. And, of course, you're the one that makes the show work.
You're supposed to say, I'm thankful to do the show with you, too. That's kind of what I was looking for, douchebag. Coming to you from the minimum security containment cell in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, California, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where the sun is high, and Adam wants to be high, apparently, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll talk to you again on the early service at the Church of No Agenda on Sunday, right here on No Agenda.